is the one that lifts us up by his mercy and by his grace. It is of him that we have received. Yes, it is of the Lord that we are partaking. Praise the Lord. Just lift up your voice in thanksgiving. It says, the judgments of the Lord are true and they are righteous altogether. Father, we thank you. Because your judgments are true, they are righteous altogether. They are eternal. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name. We worship you forever. Lord, we see who you are. We celebrate who you are. We are thankful that we are of you. We are grateful that we are of you. We have an assurance of the future. Not only that, we have an assurance of the everlasting. Because we exist in you. We are in you. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Lord Jesus, you are to be worshipped forever. Thank you, eternal Father, for you have given us a portion of eternity. Brethren, bless the Lord. Thank him. Thank him. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Lord Jesus, you are worthy of all glory. You are worthy to be praised. Father, we worship you forever. Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Praise the Lord.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Can we just take a declaration of understanding? We want to study and then we are going to pray. Today I want us to pray for our country. Well, because it's our responsibility. Do you understand that? So we say, well, we prayed for Nigeria before. Were you planning to stop? No. Right. Men ought always to pray and not to get tired, all right? And not to give up. And when he gave us that injunction, he used one particular situation to illustrate it. He said, one particular woman, that's Luke chapter 18, went and said, avenge me of my adversary. Give me justice against my adversaries. So it was just a particular matter. And he used that as an illustration of importunity. So we are going to remind ourselves of some important doctrines, and then we are going to start praying. All right. So let's take our declaration of understanding so that we can start. One, two, let's go. Now I declare. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I've been filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. Word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. He's healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. All right, let's open our Bibles quickly to the book of 2 Chronicles. I want us to read the portion that I believe we are all very familiar with. This was when Solomon built the temple. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 said, now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord fills the house. Now I want to just go down to verse 11. Let's go down to verse 11. Then Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's palace, and successfully completed all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and in his palace. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Now listen to the instructions. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, please, can I beg Christians, faith believing now? Those who claim to believe the word of faith, and then Pentecostals, charismatics, whatever we call ourselves. Please notice what God said. If I shut up the heavens, God shuts up heavens. God shuts the heavens. Let us stop this thing, please, that only the devil does. And that God only allows him. That thing is not accurate. God shuts the heavens. He said he does. I can give you at least 100 portions of the scriptures where he said he does such things. Please, let's get it clear. I'm tired of, you know, having to talk and people in their hearts, they are thinking that, no, only the devil. Again, that your philosophy is not based on scripture. It's because you refuse to read the whole Bible that you are able to hold on to that thing. One thing you can never argue about or against, which is my, you know, key, when I wanted that, one of the major points I used to prove this point, is who flooded the earth? Was it the devil in the time of Noah? We know that God called Noah and told him what he wanted to do. And when the time came, he by himself shot Noah into the ark and flooded the place. But I don't want to spend too much time on this. I just feel like clarifying that for whoever may be hearing, you know, us teach along this line for the first time, maybe listening to this in a recorded format. Who wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah? The answer, I really don't want you here, people here to answer me, really, okay? I'm happy for your answer, but just to let anybody who was thinking otherwise before do some reasoning. It was not the devil. The angels of God, you saw the interaction, how they took Lot out, and one of them said, Lot, you have to hurry. If you don't leave, I will not be able to do what I'm supposed to do. It was not the devil, it was God that had Sodom and Gomorrah leveled. And God was speaking to them in Amos. He said, I leveled some of your cities the way I did Sodom and Gomorrah. So please, let's rest that argument. It's an unnecessary argument. You hear that doctrine all the time. Once, when they say Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah, they say it's not possible that Jesus is never a lion, he's a lamb. Because Jesus is only gentle. A lion is ferocious. It can tear a prey. But God says, that's what I'm going to do to some people. Our God is good. We're not denying it. The good God is also the just God. What God does in his goodness is that he warns you of the judgment and gives you the way of escape. And this was how he loved the world. He gave them a sacrifice. He gave a sacrifice so that whosoever will believe will not perish. That's how he shows his love. He gives you a way out of his judgment. We saw it in Nineveh. He sent to the Assyrians, that's Jonah. And when Jonah told them what God would do to them, they repented and the true desire of God showed up, which was that no one will perish, but that everyone will come to the knowledge of truth. Through repentance, of course, will be delivered. Please, let's get it clear. God shuts the heaven. He drowns people. You think there were no children in the time of Noah? You think there were no babies in Sodom and Gomorrah? Let's calm down. Let's stop rewriting the scriptures. Let's not make our own God, having features that we generated for him. People have taken his glory and given to another. They say it was the devil that drowned everybody in the days of Noah. God only allowed them to do it. That is not correct. I'm sorry. Don't create your own God. If God says, I do something, believe him. He said, I'm about to invent evil against these people. That's what he said. He said it. If he says something, who are you to say he doesn't do what he said he does? He said, the Lord kills and he makes alive. Hannah said it. Somebody says because it's a woman that said it. Meanwhile, God said it all over the scriptures. You said, no, he didn't kill. He only allowed the devil to kill. How many times in your whole, what you call the Old Testament, Old Law and the Prophets, did you see Satan or the devil show up? You can count on, well, not up to 10. We know about the encounter in Genesis. You hear the encounter with Joshua, the high priest. You hear when they say he enticed David to number Israel. Then you hear he appeared in the presence of God the time of Noah or Job. And that's about all. So let's relax. What did I say? Yes. Don't fit God into your doctrine. Learn from the scriptures. And the Bible starts from Genesis, according to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to the whole, that is the 66 books we have in the Christian Bible today. They are all scripture.
Genesis, the book of the beginnings. When Jesus said, in the beginning, it was not so. He didn't mean just at the beginning of things. He meant in Genesis, it was not so. Because the name of the Bible, of the book Genesis, what you call Genesis now, Hebrews don't call it Genesis. That's a Greek name. Hebrew people use the first portion of the Bible to name the book. So that book is called the beginning, in the beginning. So when Jesus said in the beginning, it was not so. We can interpret it and will be accurate to say in Genesis. Jesus talked about Moses, so we know. He bore witness to all those books. Those were the scriptures he read. And he said, in the volume of the books, it is written of me. Well, he was talking about the books in heaven anyway. But you see it about him written. It told us in that Luke 24. Going from the law, the prophet, and the Psalms, he showed things about himself. These are scriptures. Then we have our gospels. Inspired record. Holy Spirit assisted record of his life. Then we have the book of Acts, of what happened to the early church, and then the letters written by those he commissioned. And then the book of Revelation. What am I going to say? You find out that your whole Bible is everything you're supposed to read. If you don't understand it, it's because you don't understand it. Don't cut it off. I hope you get my point. I've heard different people say that the New Testament was written to the Christian. And then, let me not repeat the second part. It's not necessary, that second part. The New Testament was written to the Christian. That is true because they were Christians then. And that was the body, the people of God. But Paul told us the oracles of God, they were kept with the people of Israel. And when Paul wrote to Timothy, give attention to the public reading of Scripture. He wasn't talking about your New Testament now. He was talking about Genesis to Malachi. I hope you're getting my point. He was talking about Genesis to Malachi. When Jesus said, you said the Scriptures, he was talking about the same book. There was no Matthew to Revelation that time. When the apostles gathered to study, that was what they were studying. On all the revelations, I've read my Bible a bit. There's almost nothing that you'll find somewhere there that will not come and go and show you somewhere there too. That is, in the New Testament, you won't find the Old Testament, also called Old, the Law and the Prophets and the Psalms. So let's get it clear. I'm just defending the Scriptures again for us today because there's this doctrine many of us hold on to. If anything so-called bad thing happens, it is not God. It is the devil. What is the practical implication of that? The practical side of it now is that when we are supposed to be repenting and begging for mercy, we turn to warfare. We begin to attack the devil. I'm about to get carried away into something that I saw during the week. Let me restrain myself. Let's be careful. Christian, look, we don't have two gods. We have one. The devil and God, they are not equal and opposite, pulling us with the same energy in different directions. No. One sits on the throne. He calls. The other is a tempter that tries to entice you away from the presence of God. And what he can do is entice. Let me just leave it there. The devil he can't go to where God did not permit him to go. I heard one man preach. He says heresy to say that. As how can it be heresy? Is that not what the Bible says? Who will help me persuade Ahab that if I go to Ramoth Gilead, I want to kill him there. I want him to die there. I want the one spirit said I will be there. He said, go and succeed. He had to issue for the decree. Have you considered my servant Job? God had to give Job into his hands. I hope you're getting my point. They are not equal and opposite. Satan has to obtain permission. No matter the evil he wants to do, he has to get permission. Without permission, he can't do it. That is why only him sits as judge. That's our God. He is the only one that sits as judge. Please, that is why this worship of the devil, I don't get it. Let me leave it. There's something just dead. Let me just leave it. Let me just leave it. The Lord is good. Let's continue reading. He said, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, and if I command the locusts to devour the land, God commands locusts. And we're going to read another portion of it in a moment. Where Amos saw him commanding, not even commanding locusts, preparing, cooking them, training them, putting programs into their brains, giving them the ability to eat and devour and wipe out the land. When Amos saw it, and we're going to read it in a moment, he had to beg. He said, I saw the Lord. He was preparing a swarm of locusts. And if I shut up the rains, the heavens so that there's no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, I command, that's what he said. Or if I send pestilence amongst my people, God may send pestilence among his people. Somebody said, in this Old Testament, I had an argument with somebody once. Show me one scripture in the New Testament. I said, who killed Ananias and Sapphira? The devil? No. In fact, one prophet said, he's a seraph. There are seraphim. There are, what do you call them? Cherubim. There are angels. All of these beings are there. He said, seraph. He said, a seraph. I wasn't there, is what he said. It was a seraph that struck Ananias and struck Sapphira because they have the duty to preserve holiness. And then when they appear, look, please wipe it from your spirits and your hearts and your minds that God never touches his own children. No, he never hurts them. It's not true. The Bible said if he doesn't, then they are bastards. That's what Peter said. You know, people say chastisement, it means the word. Have you heard that thing before?
Yes.
Once we have made up our mind, we will not believe. There is nothing else we can do. Once we have made up our mind that we will not believe. He said, what does it mean to chastise? It means to build up with the word. He said, but the Bible says it's grievous. So teaching you is grievous? Yeah, people say, he said, what is the weapon of chastisement? Is the word. The rod stands for the word. So I said, how is it grievous? As they are rebuking you. That's grief. You're not serious. Chastisement is painful. It hurts your back. You will go without food. One day it's a big man now, junior pastor, actually. Was a small boy that time. He was misbehaving one day. Was going to school. What do they call school? It's not in nursery 2, nursery. All those ones where you just sit in a circle. And so his mother said, eat. He said, I don't want to eat. Maybe, I don't know what they gave him that money. Let's assume they say, eat akara. I said, I want to eat okpa. It's not akara, it's not okpa. I think it's something like, he wanted golden mon, and then they gave him cornflakes. No, okay, I want noodles. You know those kind of funny things. So he said, he will not eat this one this morning. And he was beginning to turn that into a habit. So that day, his mother called my attention. So you know how I cured it? I gave him what the Bible calls cleanness of teeth. Emptiness of stomach. I told his mother, pack the food. The boy was looking, they packed the food. The one he wanted, he didn't get. The one they gave him was withdrawn. I put him in the car, off to school. The boy was looking at, no, this cannot be happening. I said, you are going to school. Is I cry? I looked at him like this. Will you keep quiet? Who do you think is driving you? Your mother? No. Have you ever seen Jesus say, you have your mother the devil? What did he say? When you are with your father, just have to you have to look carefully. I said, my friend, to the car. The guy was looking like I drove him to school on an empty stomach. Sit down there. The boy looked like, no, this cannot be happening. It was happening. It was happening. They had preached to him, grace means daddy will never let you go hungry. No. And the boy went to school for the first time in his life. He sat down and I told his auntie, he has not eaten, but let him sit down. As the only thing is that early, as a very early, as soon as break time, give him his food on time because you know they pack food for school. So next morning, if you give him garri and granite, he ate it with thanksgiving. Said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. That is what fathers do. Do you get my point? Someone said, God doesn't do it. I said, which God? The only thing I want to say to us is that it's not as if, you know, let's get it clear. He's not wicked. He's just been a father. He's not wicked. He's just been a judge. Two of them, those things are important. As a father, he disciplines, trains, hurts you in the process. But as a judge, grace does not mean he will not apply the just recompense of reward. That's not what grace means. Because if he did that if he refuses, he said it himself, there's a point you get to, there remains no sacrifice for such sins. I don't want to start talking about the sins that are covered by certain sacrifices. People joke with God every day. You know, sometimes I see what people do. You know, you just be looking at the person and say, Kai, God will make you an example. You're just looking at the person. You're like, sorry, you. The thing God will do to you, you don't want to be there. If that means anything. I'm looking at the person that this thing you are doing, can't you see it is wickedness? There's a testimony one of our pastors in the house here gave me one day about one pastor who used to do one funny thing. So the pastor said, just another pastor looked at this one and said, what this man is doing is wickedness. I heard that thing said, that this man, what he's doing is wickedness against the people of God. And I know what happened to him one day. He just sat down, put down his head and died. Then my mind went by and said, but they said, what this man is doing is wickedness. Does the devil kill? Maybe. But I really don't care about the devil. The devil can't even shave my beard. Do you follow what I'm saying? He can't. I don't like your beard. He can't shave it. Not to talk about cutting my head. He can't shave the beard. Is he out of his mind? He knows. He said, I pray, kayaba, the devil will not. Please, all of you have been here. You've heard people hear a lead prayer. No, but how many times do you hear that nonsense prayer? Yeah, I say nonsense. The devil can't shave my beard. You know, he had to correct Peter and co. He explained to them, the prince of this world is coming. He has nothing in me. You know why he was saying it? Because they're about to watch him suffer. They're about to watch him hung on the cross, crucified, sentenced to a painful execution. He says the fact that the Father commanded, and as the Father has commanded, I lay down my life, is my choice. He says, so nobody should come and deceive you that the devil took him. He said, the devil, I know he's going to come, but he can't. He has nothing in me. He said, but I'm doing this so that all of you will know that I love the Father. And loving the Father means you keep his word. The devil is not our problem. So let's continue reading. He said, if I send pestilence among my people, we are reading 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we're in verse 13. 9 verse 14. He said, and my people see all of these things. So what do? My people who are called by my name, what do? They humble themselves, number one. This morning in the house, I was asking my children as we were studying, what is the meaning of pride? What's the meaning of humility? We're discussing it. If they humble themselves to accept that they have a problem, pride is not my fault. I have done what I am supposed to do. If anything is going wrong, it's not my fault. Humility is to check inside, what could I have missed? Is there a place where I misstepped or overstepped? You've heard me teach about what is wrong with a king. They said the problem is that we don't have a king. God said, no, that is not the problem. That has never been the problem. Go and check it. Every time you repented, every time you cried for mercy, I raised up a judge and I delivered you. They said, no, it's because we don't have a standing army. And God said, no, now. You did not need a standing army when I raised Gideon. Gideon did not even carry a sword. when he drove away the Midianites? He didn't even carry a sword. God wanted them to know, you are not going to be delivered by a great army, not by weapons. If you go and check the history of Israel, they didn't even used to have weapons. Yes, the Philistines mentioned they didn't have when they were oppressing them. They didn't used to have those days. God wanted just to show that he was their deliverer. They go, the days of Saul, how many people had a sword? Yet God delivered them. They didn't need a gun. They didn't need anything. God was their gun. God was their weapon. He was their chariot. If you remember, when Elisha was going to die, what did the king of Israel say? He said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. That this is our deliverer. God speaks through him. We are delivered. One man was dying. He called him the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. So in the time of Gideon, God said, hey, what is the problem? Gideon gathered a large army and said, you misunderstand how this thing works. I'm the one that has come to deliver my people. So let me do it in such a manner that you can't even guess. You can't be mistaken to think you can share in the glory. So drive everybody home. If you are afraid, go. They went. There were still a large number remaining. He said, no. Now, let them drink water. And who are the people remaining? 300. Good. Those ones, what did they carry to battle? AK-47. Bazooka. What did they carry? I think they carried a torch and a jar. And they were playing. Who can remember? What did they carry to battle? Remind me quickly, what did they carry into that battle there? I think it was just a torch and a jar. He said, whatever you see me do, do likewise. The guys went. Jesus is Lord. Chapter 7, Judges. Quickly, get to where it is. Verse what? Around verse, That's it. Verse 16. He divided the 300 into three companies and put trumpets and empty pitchers into the hands of all of them with torches inside the pitchers. They didn't give them swords. Did they even have? I doubt they had. He said, look at me and do likewise. Whatever you see me do. And all these men, verse 18, when I and all who are with me blow the trumpet, then you shall blow the trumpets all around the camp and say this. And then they ran and then they smashed the pitchers that was in their hands in verse 20, in 19. And the camp of Midian scattered. It was the angels of God. The angels of God came and what? Drove the people away. So when they were seeing the dead, a standing army, God said, that's not what you need. Remember the time of Gideon. 500 soldiers, 300 soldiers that did not carry weapons routed the Midianites. But they said, what we need is a standing army. So God said to Samuel, they have rejected me as their king. King that time was not just the lawgiver, was the general, the commander of the army. So they rejected God. What am I going to say? Humility. Or pride is when they say, no, this is the problem. We don't have a standing army. Humility is just to know that we've done something wrong. Humility is to look inward first before you blame somebody outside. Humility is to forget which party is ruling in your country and to say, what are we doing as people? Humility is to forget who's the head of state and say, what is the state of my heart? Humility is for the church to gather and say, let us pray. What happened that we lost the battle at Ai? You know what I've been pride? For Joshua to have stood in the midst of the people after they lost the battle at Ai. Say, my people, I know you guys tried. I don't know what God is up to. Next time we are going back, well armed. If God doesn't want to help us, let him not help us. We help ourselves. After all, heaven helps those who help themselves. Hezekiah chapter 15, verse 35. Some people think it's David chapter 150. Heaven helps those who help themselves. That is pride. Or that would have been pride. But what did he do? He fell on his face and said, Moses said, how will one chase 1,000? Or two chase 10,000? Except their rock sold them and their God gave them up. Lord, what happened? And they said, something's wrong in the midst of you. Fix that and you will win the battle. And they fixed it and they won the battle the next time they went. That is humility. So he said, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face, they humble themselves, they pray, seek my face, all of these things go together, and turn from their wicked ways. I don't care who is leading the prayer. I don't care who the name of the prophet. If he never, she never points out the iniquity in your life, the person is false. Because it is a prayer just like to gather everywhere for prayer meetings. You know what? Go to where they will tell you, like they say, your mouth is smelly. You know, they come, your mouth is smelly. I don't mean literal halitosis, but I mean like the way you talk is not right. The way you believe is not right. The behave is not right. The thoughts in your heart, they are not correct. I've reasoned much about the affairs of our nation around us. And you know, you've heard me say many times, the problem still remains that the church needs to learn that they have to blame themselves. Gathering voters' cards, telling Christians to all vote for one person. You know, all of you know me that time. I said it, that all of you, see, confusion is your portion. That is why, once you idolize the voters' card, I knew that God had turned against you. See, you don't understand. I had a voters' card, and I used it too. In case you want to know, I just went there. Just look for one person I was so sure would not win. I voted for him. In fact, me and you voted one day. I had to ask you, who should I vote for? He said, okay, this is my friend. I said, are you sure? Is he a good man? That's my own. Because, you see, I believe in voting. But that last election, presidential, I just would look for one guy. I didn't know the guy I dropped the day before. I voted for the man. Look. People say, why did you do that? Because I didn't believe all the rubbish the prophets in the country where she prophesied. I had no doubt in my mind that they are speaking against God. I think God had turned against all their prophecies. I said, let me vote for somebody I can save with my whole heart that he's not planning to win. And I was so correct, I didn't know the man dropped a day or two before saying, I know they do it again. And I saw my vote still evaporate. Christians don't understand. And then look at them and say, I say, what? It is humility to humble yourselves and pray and turn from your wicked ways, not to mobilize yourself for voting. I saw all kinds of, what do you call them? Videos on how there are enough Christians to install anybody they want in power in this country. And I'm looking at them like, pastors who come to church. One man says he's a politician. Now he's a pastor. The problem with Christians is that they don't come out to vote. I'm looking at them, yes, that can be a problem. If you don't perform your civic duty, that is not good. Even if we can come to agreement, we can make anybody president at the home. I started laughing. I said, pastor, are you sure you are called to ministry? I don't think so. If you're called, you're not going to learn your work. That's the spirit of Saul. That is the people of Israel calling for a king. That's the spirit. It's the spirit that numbers Israel. Have you ever asked yourself why God was angry? People say, David didn't bring the sacrifice. That's not why. If it was sacrifices, his men would have handled it. Because you can read the scriptures. Somebody, you know, you say something, some people want to do, sorry, I don't mean any insult, but I don't engage on, there are pastors who, if you post something on social media, people talk, you will answer them back. Me, I don't. I paste, I walk away. If you even ask questions, I don't even answer you. If you have a question, send to Ask Pastor Banky. I will answer. So you see what happened was that David did not take the shekel of the sanctuary. I said, you think Job didn't know that? If it was just money, Joab would have said, "Sir, we don't have enough money." He said, "Sir, let's not do this. Let's not do this." He begged him. Why? It was not about money. It was about Samuel having warned David, "This is never to be done." And those days when he used to run up and down, he had told his men, "This is the word of the Lord to us." And I'm giving you the prophetic interpretation. "Lest you take your eyes away, David, from me and place it on the strength of your army." It's idolatry. It's idolatry. God wanted David to know that if it's only you and Abishai that goes to battle against 1,000 Philistines, I will be with you. Gideon, with 300 unarmed men, went to battle. Don't forget. How do I know? Go and read it. David numbered the men of war. It was about war. He numbered the men of war. And that's why Joab said, "Sir, that was not what Samuel told us. Oh, you told us." And I'm reading between the lines now. Joab was so upset. "Why is your God doing this?" David put his foot down. "Come on, I'm the king here. You do as I say." Joab did a sloppy job. Go and read it. Got to one try. Say, "I bet you don't do." How many people number? They counted for him. Say, "Let's go." He didn't count everybody. He was angry. Say, "This kind of wahala." Why? Because he had been warned. Why did God warn him? "Don't put your eyes on the strength of your army. Stop calculating how much is your bank account. How many people do you know? You scroll through your phone to check how many people are powerful that you know. Yes, you know the IG of police. You know the, what do you call them? The head of DSS." That was what was wrong with David numbering Israel. It was confidence in flesh. It was confidence in his army that he had built. And that was something God said, "No, I won't take from you. I won't take it from you." And he warned him ahead. And that was why he was punished. What are they supposed to do? "Is my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven," this is how it goes, "will forgive their sin and heal their land." You know, I was somewhere on Sunday at the fellowship. So the person did it in prayer. He said that we should pray that God will give us fuel in Nigeria. And I was very happy when he prayed like that. So when I came up to preach, I said, "Thank you, sir, for that." I was going to preach. I said, "Thank you, sir, for that prayer point." Because he explained some things. And I realized that at least he fully understood and he was telling the people, and I prayed that their hearts, their spirits were in the prayer. That if God doesn't give it to you, you can sit down there and watch Dangote and NNPC negotiate for the next 1 year. And you'll be wondering why. Now, please, just in case you did not know, one man analyzed and said, the man doesn't need to sell the fuel to NNPC. In fact, selling to NNPC is like, you know, they worry me. That he'll make more money if he just turns his staff into the ships and they carry them off to where they've been carrying them to. So they come in. You don't think he was waiting, keeping it there so that NNPC. The ships were going every day. Ships were going. And you see, men would try to negotiate. They won't even know why they can't negotiate. So when the man raised the prayer point, I said, this is a man who understands spiritual things. Christians, let's not be occupied with material analysis. A man told me, he said, because the story is quite a few years ago now. I've forgotten whether it's 11 or 13 times he told me that he fixed from Nigeria here the exchange rate between the European currency. This was before the days of euro. Between the European currency and the US dollars. The US dollar. You look at it and say, Lord, this rate is not good for me. Please, I want you to please make it this. And I can't remember the figures, but let's assume 10 European currency to the dollar. Maybe before that it was like 11. Say this 11 is not good now. How much dollar will I get? And he'll call his bankers. On Friday, this will be the exchange rate. He will tell them how to move his money. He's a businessman. Are you listening to that? So the bankers will explain to him that no, that won't favor you. Let's keep your money right now this way. If we move it to the dollar, it will not be good for you. He will say, don't worry. Keep my money as dollars because on Friday, this will be the exchange rate. Then after that, move my money, maybe transfer to them. Say, keep it there at dollar. On Friday, move it. I will get more for it. And like, no. They will show him what the markets are saying. He will say, do what I have said. After I had done it 11 or 13 times, they called him. And he starts with the deputy CBN governor of their own country. Say, we just want you to educate us how you do your calculation. You are too accurate. Our own economists have to wait for the Nikkei average to come out. The FTSE 100. The New York Stock Exchange must speak. NASDAQ must speak. We wait for the Germans. We'll now calculate what people like George Soros may be doing and the Bank of England. At the end of the day, we'll now project that this would be. And we are wrong. Of course, we know. More than half of the times. And if you are wrong more than half of the time, it means that you may as well be guessing. But you have hit it bullseye, like they say. Every single time, this past 11 times or 13 times, I can't remember the exact number. Tell us how you do it. He said, if I told you, you wouldn't believe. Tell us. If I told you, you would not believe. They said, don't worry, just tell. They said, okay. I pray about it and I ask God to make it. So when I've told God what he will do, I have the assurance that's what he was going to do. And that's why I tell you ahead of time. They close the book like, no, now. Say the real thing. Say, I told you, you wouldn't believe. Now I have told you, that's all I do. Let's not say more than that. That it happened shows you how these things work. You were talking about it, was it on Friday? That you tweeted or put on your status that prices are set in heaven. Inflation rate is determined in heaven. Hey, the people wanted to hang you. Why? Because you read Revelation chapter, is it 4 or 5? Or 6? Oh. You will hear them shout. A voice shouted, one day's salary is one denarius. That's literally one. He said, if you read the New Living Translation, he said, two loaves of bread that's made from wheat and one from barley. You work a whole day to buy one loaf of bread. And it says, do not hurt the oil and the wine. The first person I heard explain that portion was the Red Prince. He says, what is oil? What is wine? These are the food and the things of the rich. Hurt that the poor needs. Don't touch what the rich needs. He said, it's there in scripture. The poor will get poorer. The rich will get richer. Do not hurt the oil or the wine. And I remember then, was it COVID? And even the dot-com crash, all of those, I've seen it again and again. Do you know, one of those periods, Rolls Royce doubled their shift when people could not eat. No. They introduced a new line called Baby Rolls. Baby Rolls was slightly bigger than the 7 Series BMW. They call it Baby Rolls. They were selling so much. People, Rolls Royce were going, you know, the orders were too much. They doubled their shift to produce Rolls Royces. When car companies were shutting down, making normal cars, companies were closing down, laying people. People were being ejected. Yes, it was during the prime mortgage crash of some years ago. People were moving to the street. People who had homes were now living on the streets in America. Yet Rolls Royce was doubling the shift. And I remembered that scripture. Do not hurt the oil. Or the wine. Determined in heaven. Let's be spiritual people. See, I've told you, spirituality is not this one we are confusing ourselves with these days. Most of those prayers these days, Lord, forgive me. I can say it, eh? They don't mean anything. Most of those shouting, is shouting. Clanging cymbals. Empty barrels. I say that boldly. I'm a Pentecostal too. But most of this, you are hearing this, there's no meaning. I saw one man the other day, they say he fasted for how many days? So at the end of the day, he saw a vision. And you believe that vision? Now, this is the funny thing about me. God help me. He had not told me the vision. He described how much he fasted. He fasted till he landed in hospital. Then he came back and continued, but this time around he modified it a bit. He takes breaks. After he had fasted so hard for 100 days, he said, the last day I had a vision. An angel appeared. I just said, and you believe that vision? Don't be stupid. You should know that when you have opened yourself to lies. I allowed him to continue. When he finished narrating the vision, I shut him down. I said, this guy is confused. An evil spirit just came into your house, lied to you, and you are teaching us. I need to be an evil spirit. Because the amount of effort he put into it, it was not God. I know this God that we serve. See, let me tell some of you. Anyway, thank God you are crazy enough to follow me. So, yeah, normal people don't follow me. So, let me, now in the midst of this, your abnormal behavior, let me tell you the will of God. All right? What's the abnormal behavior? Follow me. Listening to me. I've been seeing you here every day for how many years? So, I know you're not normal. Is that okay? So, two of us. Yeah, I mean, telling you. When they say two cannot work together, except they are like each other. I mean, use that expression. See, no need to hurt yourself while praying. There's no need to fast longer than Jesus Christ did. And before you fast as long as Jesus did, go to the wilderness he went to and be exactly like he was. He did not feel hungry. You cannot be there third day you are rebuking hunger. Jesus did not rebuke hunger for 1 minute. You're telling me? So get it clear. You don't need to worry yourself. God will see if God only speaks to you when you have almost hurt yourself, you didn't hear the true God. I hope what I'm saying, I hope it's clear to you. I see some Christianity, and I wonder who taught you this one? Who taught you this one? Please take your example from scripture. I keep on saying that thing. Before you come up with some fantastic doctrine, go and read your Bible. Where did they practice it like this? When the man finishes, I said, a spirit appeared to you, and you believe him. First, you know, I know basic physiology. Your brain is currently misfiring. Anything you hear at that time, don't believe. Go and eat first. If it's really of God, the vision will come back. It's true. No? After Manoah's wife saw the angel, they talk, say, God, please send him back. Didn't he come back? So we just want to ask you some questions. When this boy has been born, how do we take care of him? Your brain is misfiring, you are seeing visions, and you believe it. You are the one begging to be deceived. I listen to that man. He said, an angel appeared to him. I said, well, he had not said anything. No. I just told myself, I said, don't believe whatever that angel tells you. Please don't. Don't. And he started telling what the angel said. When we finished, come and ask me what the angel said to him. And I said, and you believe that? I don't understand. I need work. I have work to do. No, really. I have to continue our school of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. To help Christians understand some basic things. I'm not talking about fasting. Because if I start, my message will spoil. How did I even get into that one? Talking about prophets, prayer, that's not bringing you to repentance. That's not correcting you. That's not telling you your thoughts are wrong. Your actions are wrong. Your deeds are wrong. And you are praying. My people, you are wasting time. Real prophets, the job of real prophets is not to be telling you what will happen in 10 years' time or in 5 years' time. Now, even though that they do that, and the secondary job is not the primary. The primary job of a prophet, see, you can go through life for years, a prophet tells you nothing, God doesn't give you any special communication, don't be alarmed. As long as you're studying scriptures, you're in fellowship with the Lord, because prophets come, you, 9 times out of 10 they come out, is to correct you. So there's nothing to correct you about. Most times they are silent. Occasionally they come to encourage you when there's a temptation. When you were doing bad before, your name is Asa, you are leading people right now, they'll come and encourage you. Be strengthened. What you are doing is right. Don't let those who are opposing you come and, you know, distract you. But most times they don't say anything. That's why you read your Bible. For the other day in the house, we wanted to start reading. Which book was that? Is this Zephaniah? Okay. Which book was it? Was it Zephaniah? The first line, I said, oh, this is what I don't like about this prophet. He said, I will sweep everything away, living being. And I said, this is the first line. Honestly, it was troubling to my soul. After they introduced Zephaniah in verse 1, Verse 2, I will completely remove all things from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. It's the very first thing Zephaniah said. He didn't even say, peace be unto you, people of God. They just introduced this prophet. The word of the Lord came to Zephaniah, son of Cushi, son of Gedaliah, of Amariah, Zechariah, in the days of Josiah, king of. First thing he said, I will completely remove all things from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. Now, when you start reading your scripture, once you sit down, you drop the Bible. You go and read Paul. Grace and peace be multiplied. To get some fresh air. The first thing this guy says, but they say, I've understood. The reason that they hardly speak except there's a problem. Except there's a problem. So they come to correct you. Stop this nonsense. Move the right way. You have departed from worshiping the true God. That's why prophets sound like that. So most people these days be telling you they are prophets. And the only thing they can tell you is who buried your destiny. You want to hear the truth? They are false. They don't know God. They don't know his word. They don't have any prophetic spirit. Like that one said, Amakawai. I saw him. One of those clowns that were doing fake miracles. What was the issue? He said, you're supposed to go abroad. Yeah, guy. This one that happened. Then your passport, your visa has been approved. Your passport is now missing. And then your fiance took you here. And you went to this. And you went to Wonky Nikon. And then you still can't find it. And you're supposed to travel in the next 1 week. Your passport and the visa therein, they are currently missing. And your fiance's name is Amaka. And that one said, yes. Is she here? Say yes. Amaka, come. Amaka came. Yeah, sorry, it's not you. Your name is Amaka here. I just say, Amaka, why? Let's make a long story short. It's Amaka that took the passport. I went and hid it. I was not carrying him up and down looking for it. I said, it's not his fault. It's all the Mughals that came to the church. Yeah. People who won't read their Bible and be following diviners. By the way, forget that arrangement is a lie. Him, Amaka, and that guy, they know each other. The guy was not trying to eat Amaka there. They were not pulling him back. It's called Nollywood. His whole movie. Pastors can act, though. We can act. We pastors. Didn't you see a rumor inside the windows? Yes, me, I plan to join Vine Nation, too. Told them to write my script for me. So I'll go and stay there. All these actors, I will join you people. So all Divine Nation actors. All of this is acting. A real prophet is more concerned about, oh boy, come, which money are you spending? My spirit is telling me that that money is not correct. Where did they come from? I hear in my spirit, 30-70. What happened to 30-70?
Say, actually, the agreement we had was 50-50. But the way my friend was doing, I did most of the work, so I took 70 and gave him only 30%.
That's real profit. Say, since that time, your throat has been paining you. Is that not so? He said, yes. He said, it's the 20% you ate that's not your own. It's the 20% you ate that's not your own. So, Pastor, what do I do? How long have you been eating the extra 20%? So for the last 2 years, you are owing the Lord too. But every dime you shall pay. First, go and meet your friend. Right, type him a text message while I'm watching you. Do you have his WhatsApp number? Yes. Right. Please, Ambrose, I'm so sorry. This was what happened. I just felt that, please, I'm begging you, forgive me. Right now, I've been 2 years taking 20% more than I was supposed to collect based on our agreement because I was angry about this. I pledge that I will refund you everything. Yeah? Click send. After you have finished send, the pastor will now seize your phone for 1 hour so that you can't delete it. Or he will delete the one you sent so that you won't see the thing to delete again. Although WhatsApp has updated that thing now. Or you will wait together until your friend Ambrose replies you with hand on his head. You know that emoji. Once the show Ambrose has read it, he said, good, now deliverance time. In Jesus' name, be healed. All the troubles in your throat will go away. Those are real prophets. They are real prophets. The ones that ask you where they buried your placenta. Please, I've been begging you, just ask and say, Pastor, honestly, your own, where they buried? Ask him. Say, Pastor, I see that if you can see it, your ministry will explode. Your church is not big because where they bury your placenta is not a confirmed nonsense. The Lord is good. Real prophets, they are very emphatic. Their focus is on reconciling you to God. Their focus is on reconciling you to righteousness. Their focus is in encouraging your righteous work. These are real prophets. Let me say this before I leave it. Leave churches where they pride in seeing visions about somebody else who's warning somebody else. They are false. I don't care how sincere they look. And listen, it's not about the Bob Marley the guy has as hairstyle. He said, this one is a genuine prophet. Razor does not touch his hair. That's not the issue. And modern prophets, they can be handsome. That one I was telling Yamaka, why the guy is fine, die. Oh, that guy is fine. No, if I see fine guy, I go tell you. I'm not going to lie. Handsome guy, telling lies. Nonsense. The Lord is good. Let's continue reading. We're reading somewhere, right? Yeah. Which verse are we in? Verse 14. He said, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let me just stop reading there. Let's not read further about the house. There's a principle here I've said to us before. God kept Israel there. He chose the nation of Israel, built them up to show us. Let me just explain that again briefly, just to help those of us who are Bible students. The life of the nation of Israel, there are some unique things about it. There were some unique things. But generally, it showed, their life showed how God dealt with nations. It was not just about them. If you go and read my guy Amos, even that's the Zephaniah we're talking about, you see the same prophet will send a word to Moab. He will send a word to Ammon. He will send a word to the Philistines. He will send a word, the same prophet, for three sins of Moab and for four. I will not revoke his punishment. And it's just the way God used to do things. After all, a whole book in the Bible, one of the, in fact, according to this American prophet, what's his name? Rick Joyner, the most powerful prophet that ever lived, at least in those days, was Jonah. Yet, the whole book was not about the people of Israel. It was about the people of Assyria, Nineveh. The whole book. The whole book was about God and Nineveh. So it was not only Israel that God used to deal with. God told about how, where he moved the Syrians from, where he moved the Philistines from. He said, the same way I moved you from Egypt, I moved other people. So when you look at Israel, it will show you how God deals with nations. So when you're studying Israel, don't just look at Israel. Look at God and a nation. The way he punished Israel, in fact, that one in Amos, you will see the judgments, Israel and Judah were the ones at the bottom. He will tell you, thus says the Lord in verse 3 of chapter 1, for the three transgressions of Damascus, will tell you what they did wrong. And it's not always a sin against people of Israel. Many times it's a sin against, like now, he will tell you, the people of Edom. It says, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four, that's verse 6. I will not revoke his punishment because they deported an entire population to deliver it up to Edom. I will send fire upon the wall of Gaza. Then you see later on the same thing, verse 9. The sins of Tyre. Then Edom, look at what he did. He said he forgot, there's one he said he forgot the treaty of, yes, that's it. Because he pursued his brother with a sword. You go on down, he'll tell you about verse 13, the transgressions of Ammon. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Look, he kept on going. Chapter 2, you see that of Moab. It was for sin they committed against Edom. Have you seen that? For three transgressions of Moab and for four, I will not revoke his punishment because he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. Just to let you know that God was dealing with not just Israel, but all the nations. I hope you're getting my point. Now, I've established that something we all know. Let's continue. The same way he dealt with Israel, the conditions for deliverance apply to everybody. They just want in Israel. One of the things that Israel had unique to them, God will save, especially Judah. At the end of the day, he said, I will not wipe them out entirely. But you see some people say, I will wipe them out entirely. That's one thing he kept on living for Israel. Because of your father. Because of David. Remember Isaac and remember Jacob. Because of Abraham, I will not wipe you people out entirely. You say, what do you see? Say you catch, you say a lion caught a goat. All you get from it is one small piece of ear. You don't chop everything. When you come to drive away the lion, say that's how Israel or Judah will be saved. Basically, there will be remnants. So one thing he kept on giving Judah was what? Remnants. Otherwise, it's the same principle. If you repent, we saw Nineveh repent and we saw how they were saved. Why did I say all of these things? As long as you have talked plenty, yes, now I've now gotten to today's message. Up to now was rehearsal. What is it, rehearsal or preamble? Preamble, okay. Let's now get into the message, gone. Jesus said we are the salt of the earth. We talked about that up to last week. All right? And I said it's not light of the earth and it's not salt of the world. It is what? Salt of the earth. What does that mean? It has to do with geography. It has to do with material, you know, land. It has to do with nations and their boundaries. So if God says you are the salt of the earth, that is, I take you, I plant you, having caught a nation, I've talked about that before, let me not go over that again. Only him builds nations, nobody else does. He can do it many ways. I gave the example. When he was going to separate Israel into Israel and Judah, what did he do? He stirred up rebellion against the house of David. So politics, if we went to school and learned the politics, we would know when Bangladesh became an independent nation and freed itself from, is it Pakistan? Some people are looking like, this is one big country called India. And then one day when the British were leaving, they divided into what? India and Pakistan. India is now they are mostly Hindus. Then the predominantly Muslim part was cut into what they now call Pakistan. Then one day, Pakistan also was cut. A small portion came and became Bangladesh. And they can tell you stories of how it happened. But no, they know the truth. That's what they think. It's God that cut those nations. There were these nations in this corner of Africa. There were plenty. One called himself the Oyo Empire. Then there's the Benin Kingdom. And there is this group of people that said that we don't have a king. You know them. Some said they were from Congo. Some said they are from Israel. But one Congolese married an Israeli, two of them born. And they have children that don't have kings. Do you happen to know them? And then some people started at the coast. They are all, you know, all kinds of small kingdoms here and there. Some of those small kingdoms say they are the biggest kingdom in the world. There's one I will not mention their name. They say their king conquered as far as Japan without a boat. We heard of the Kanem-Bonin Empire. Everybody was flexing. If Madame Fode was doing his own, then one day God just called some white people. Look, conquer all those people. Conquer all of them. A group of white people, you know, some came from here, just took the continent. The British took charge of this area. They came to trade. But you were forming, they conquered everything. Took some of these powerful kings that conquered as far as North Pole and South Pole. They deported them to another small kingdom down the coast and stayed there, died there. They terrorized everybody. Whether you had a king, you didn't have a king, they ruled you. They became your king. Absolutely. Thank you. All the bragging ended. At the end of the day, they formed what they called the Northern Protectorate and the Southern Protectorate. They had both direct and indirect rule. The annoying part is that if you see where they are coming from, one small country like this. Oh, England. Small country. Very small. See, please, look. There's a lot of politics and geography you study. And talk about Europe. Europe is not a continent. The real continent is called Asia. But how will a European say he's living on the Asian continent? So now say he's Europe, European continent. It's a lie. It's one landmass, one small one. To make it worse, the whole of Great Britain is one small island. But they conquered the whole world. They ruled the whole of India. Today, India is the largest country by population in the world. They overtook China some months ago. Was it last year? People don't know that. They were taking China. They're not the number one. And that's only India. Not India with Pakistan. Yet Britain ruled India with Pakistan and Bangladesh. The empire in which the sun never sets. The sun is always up in one part of the British Empire. They carry their, you know, their emperage. Is that English good? Carried as far as today's United States of America and Canada. Till now, the military in Canada is called the Royal Mounted Police. King Charles is still their king. Oh, some people don't know that. God just empowered us. He said, conquer everywhere for me. Conquer everywhere. And they conquered everywhere by force. At the time, King God says, enough. He broke it. Now they don't have, at least, nothing again. Nothing. They are gone. They used to be an empire. They are now a kingdom. No, they are now United Kingdom. Small, small countries amalgamated into one small one. The whole population is there up to half of that of Nigeria. But they rule the whole world. Don't try those guys. China, bow to their feet. When they say the empire in which the sun never sets, that's it. As far as Australia, New Zealand. These guys rule the whole world. But God used them to create nations here and there. So one day, the Queen and Lord Lugar said, amalgamate the Northern Protectorate with the Southern Protectorate and give it a name. Which name do we call it? Ask your girlfriend. And the Holy Spirit came upon that one. And she prophesied, said, Nigeria. Why? The Niger area. People are angry, they're angry. It is God. What did I say? It's God. You know why? He needed an expression. What is that expression? The church in Nigeria. God is the one that draws boundaries. And listen to this. I'm getting to my message now. All of this preambling. I accelerated the preambling. You get my point. Let me get to the message now. Now, this is the message of God to that church that he created, the nation he created, and his people he placed in there. Now, he created a garden eastward in Eden. What did he now do? What did he do after planting a garden eastward in Eden? He placed the man who he had made. The same thing. He created a nation westward in Africa and took the people who he had redeemed and placed them there and said, guard it and keep it. It's the principle. Guard it and do what? Keep it. Guard it and keep it. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. The Lord God created a nation westward in Africa. And there he placed his people who he had redeemed. And he gave them an instruction. Guard it and what? Keep it. So he said, if my people, that's the principle, who are called by my name. So the same thing happens. Now listen to what I'm about to say. He said, if I send flood on Maiduguri, if I send bandits into their land, if I turn the heart of a group against another, let's leave the devil out. Say, if my people who are called by my name, we humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will redeem their land. Please follow this. Let's now get contemporary. Let's look at what's going on. Pastor Craig called me this afternoon. He said something. He said, my heart is broken. I said, man of God, what happened? They made a statement. I said, I agree with you 100%. That I preached this thing on Sunday. I don't know whether I preached it here on Saturday. When I saw the flood in Maiduguri taking over more than 25% of that, that place is not a small city. It's a massive city. 25% to one-third underwater. This is how unbelievers talk and carnal Christians. You see, this is a problem with this country. The dam was meant to be maintained. They did not maintain the land. Dam. They were eating the money. They had the dam maintenance fund. That's the problem. They better go and check Kanjio and Shiroro. Because those who had that money, who's blind like my servants? You saw flood, and that's all you can say? They did not cross your mind. This is the same land that was devastated most of all the lands in Nigeria by Boko Haram insurgency. You see many things you don't perceive. Have you not read in your scriptures that these horses, that's how they go? First, there's a white horse. The one riding upon it is given the power to conquer. Then after that, the black horse. What does he do? He brings sword. Then after that, the pale horse, what does he bring? Famine. Then after that, another red horse that brings what? Disease. Can't you see that anytime you see one horse riding, look behind, another horse might be coming. And when you see one after the other, then you should know there's divine judgment. That is not the time to start analyzing who's the head of state, what is he doing, what is the government doing, who ate what or did not eat what. At least first understand what is going on in your land. You know, I was reading somewhere in Amos. God was saying, let's read it. Because it really happened. I told you that when I saw it, and I said, it's not been raining, no. Then I saw portions of this nation that they were struggling and they were afraid of famine because there was not enough rain for their crops. Then portions at the same time were being flooded. This one, I think, was in Katsina that I was watching yesterday. When I saw the amount of rice fields that the rain washed away. Yeah, the flood. Washed away. Actually, the Minister for Health in Nigeria talked about the millions and millions of doses of vaccines that they stored in their cold storage underground. Water just went there, flooded the whole place. Killed the cold store, because the cold store is machine. Flooded the water, dead. Killed all the vaccines, killed everything that is there. Now he's having to pull vaccines from other states to replace the one that is there. If my people who are called by my name will observe these things, they should have insight to know it is time to cry for mercy. Let's read this. Amos chapter 7. I want you to see something here. Now this is very important, what I'm about. He said that, because you know, I took time at the beginning to let us know that God does these things. Look at what he said. Let me just quickly get it. I thought I had it picked out, but... Okay, let me just read this one. Verse 1. Then the Lord God showed me, and behold, he was forming a locust swarm when the spring crop began to sprout. And behold, the spring crop was after the king's mowing. He said, and it came about that when it had finished, that is, the locust swarm had finished eating the vegetation of the land, that I said, Lord God, please stop. How can Jacob stand? Or, like NIV, you say, how can Jacob survive? For he is small. The Lord changed his mind about this and said what? It shall not be. Thus the Lord showed me, verse 4, and behold, the Lord was calling to contend with them by fire. And that fire consumed the great deep and began to consume the farmland. Then I said, Lord God, please stop. How can Jacob stand or survive? For he is so small. Then the Lord changed his mind about this. And he said, "These two shall not be, said the Lord God." I said this before. One of the primary assignments of a prophet is an intercessor. Yes. Towards people, he calls out our sins. Towards God, he's an intercessor. He turns to God. He will warn the people and say, "All of you are going to die." Then he turns to God and says, "Please don't kill them." Then he turns and says, "If you continue the way you are going, you will all perish in your sins." Then he turns to God and says, "Please don't kill them." That's how prophets behave. Israel sinned against God. Samuel warned and warned. Then yet he told them, "God forbid that I should sin against him." How? By stopping to pray for you. Yeah, he will turn to the same people and warn them about the consequences of their actions. That's what you see here, Amos. Yes, we turn around and warn this nation. But for me, my assignment is not Nigeria as a country. It's the people of God daring. It's the people of God daring. They are the problem. Yeah, I think I know where I was looking for. Should we bother reading it? I think that's chapter 4. All right? But for time's sake, we'll not bother reading it. Is that okay? Let's leave it. If I need to, I'll go back there. Now, listen. The job of the intercessor, I said to you, is what? To pray to God for mercy. The prophet is to be an intercessor. But to the people, he wants. He wants. And he wants you, God wants us to see things and learn how to decipher what is going on. It's a satanic strategy to keep us in bondage. For us to forget Hebrews chapter 11, when it says, "By faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God." So if you see a hike in the cost of living, it's not a result of one faulty government policy of last year. It did not come out of things that are what? Visible. That's why I said, my brother began to lead prayer. I said, "Let us pray." Because there's been a lot of scarcity in the last few weeks. And price has been going through the roof. He said, "Let us pray that God will grant us for." Do you know, in my house, I actually set a price. I won't tell you the price. I began to pray. I said, "Lord, this is a price I think will be good. Not for Aliko Dangote or for NMPC. But in the face of everything, the cost of things, what people earn, can you fix the price around this area?" And I gave him my reasons. Am I 100% accurate? No. But you know what? I know he answers such prayers. Yes, he does. He does. You know why? Because when the price went through the roof, was his decree. If he reverses the decree or gives another one, it will come down. However, God's main issue, we should never forget. You know, "I will forgive their..." Did he say their sins? Did you notice that? Go back there, check it. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, that verse 14. What did he say? What did he say? Sin. What did he say? I hope everybody's saying it. Did he say their sins? Their what?
Sins.
For Israel, there's only one thing God punished. Idolatry. They chased after other gods. Every other thing you saw, or you would have seen, were the results of chasing after other gods. And listen, usually their sin is just one. When the whole nation will turn in the wrong direction. The job of the king that God appointed for them was to keep them serving one God. The real kings in Israel were those who brought forth a revival and broke down all the fake altars and read the laws of God to them. If a man is cheating the neighbor, God doesn't punish the whole country. He expects the king to take care of that. I hope you're getting my point. There are things they do, but he said, "Wait, I will forgive their what? Sin." It's a focus issue. Is who is there? Remember the commandments I told us? There are 10 commandments, right? The first three put together, they actually one. They were commandments against idolatry. What's the first commandment? "Thou shalt have no other God before me." What's the second one? Thou shalt not make a graven image. What's the third one? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God for a vain thing. Now, most people do not realize, when we're young, they told us that, don't say Jesus, that is vain. No, that's not what he meant. Time will not let me go into it. But this was what he said. There were three commandments. And if you think about it, they really, a threefold cord that cannot be easily broken. Those three commandments went together. One, you will not have any other God. Two, you will not make a graven image and call it God. Three, you will get into the land. They will have beautiful images. Don't remove the name Zeus and say Christ. Don't do that. Don't place the name of the Lord thy God on a vain thing. You know, Amos did that. Aaron, I wanted to say. Aaron did not break the first commandment. He broke the second and the third. After he made the vain thing, what did he say? Behold the God that brought you out of Egypt. He did not make Ra. He didn't make Baal. He made Jehovah. Crazy guy. God said, you saw no form. So where did you get that from? You know what? Where he got it from? Egypt. That later, God helping me, I plan to do some teachings. And what I call the God, you know, I've done one called the God of the Nations. I want to do another one called the Gods of the Nations. The God of the nation is our God, the true God. But the Lord is the true God, the eternal King. But they're the gods of the nations that they worship, which Christians took and brought into church and is scattering the church. It's the reason why many of our churches, you get there, you don't know whether it's a business center, an MBA class, or church. You don't know. Because the retirement plan of the world to secure your future is what they are teaching to us. It's the gods of the nations. So they went into the world, Egypt, took an image, created it, and said, this is your God. That's taking the name of the Lord, their God, and placing it on a vain image. That was breaking the third commandment. It was the day I read that in literal translation that I finally got it. If you read what I've read now, some Bibles put a comment there, but you read the Young literal translation, it will tell you. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God for a vain thing. It wasn't talking about, that's what we didn't come in English, all right? What it was saying is that don't take the name of the Lord thy God and place it on a vain thing. Don't canonize any image. Don't deify it. People used to do it. They just take an image, they carve it, and call it, this is Oya. They carve an image, pour oil on it, and say, from today you are Madioha. God said, don't do that with my name. Never do it. Then they had big images, but people go to their homes. Remember, what caused problem with Paul? With the silversmith? Artemis now. Diana. All of them, of the Ephesians, they used to make small images. You go home and place the name of Diana on it. You go place the name of the Artemis, put on it. God said, don't try that one. Some of our churches were very good with it. Just carry one image, and hang it and say, Jesus on the cross. I want to pray. You now face it. See the cross where they draw. You know that cross? You hang in your house. I hope you know that thing has more demons than angels. Yeah, the cross of Jesus Christ. If you hang it at your door for protection, you're a sinner. Let me tell you, some of you know, like I told you. You know, some of you get to a house, it's at your door for protection. The only thing that it keeps away is the presence of God. All the demons are, these are demons that are carrying enter. The demons don't have a problem. They like it, they enter. The demon, I hope you're getting my point. Some of you who put it under your pillow, you are going to be demon possessed. I don't even need to. Look, that is what is causing. You know, your back has been paining you for a while. It's a cross of Christ that caused it. That one you drew. If you want to put an image somewhere, it's safer for you to go and print scripture. Print Psalm 23. And print it on icing, cake icing. Dissolve it into your tea and drink it, you are safe. You are safer like that than keeping the image of Jesus Christ and hang it on your neck. Your children want to go, you quickly put it inside their neck. Put it around their neck so that the cross of Jesus will protect them. It's mercy. God has just been showing you mercy. Now that you have heard me today, now try it tomorrow. Those children are going to fall down. Just to warn you. The way we handle God, can I use that expression? Is through words. If your children want to go out, place a hand on them and invoke the name of the Lord on them. Say to them, the Lord keep you. God, the Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, who sent you into my home, will protect you. His angels will guard you. Is it not written? He will give his angels charge concerning you to keep you in all your ways. That's how you place God on people. Don't wrap paper up. You're telling Neku?
Yes, sir.
Don't hang anything around anybody's neck. I'm warning all of you now. Turning idolatry, mixing with Christianity, what they call syncretism. It is not allowed. As the smaller said. If I see any one of you with shigidi, you're on your own. No, they call shigidi. Some churches, they are very good with it. They have different kinds of images. Once you enter their compound like this, you see image of Jesus Christ here. His mother is here. His Joseph, his brother, his foster father is there. Peter. Something is a royal family. Is it holy family? Shall I just be warning you? Carry that in, go house. That is when you know what they call unholy family. Satan likes images. God never dwells in them. God despises them. He hates them. Where do we learn all of them from? Just wake up in the morning, just invent something. Some of our churches were master inventors, architects of artistic designs and imagery. One day I went to one church. I will say it. One couple returned the church, the image of Joseph and Jesus Christ to church. Then I said, who will take it next? Then I named one family. They too, they rejoiced. I said, yeah, demon. You just carrying demon home and you are rejoicing. Are you mad? There's a lot of crazy people in this world. The peace that God has given you, you want to use shigidi to disturb it. Once you bring that statue home, Jesus will enter the other door. Go out. Go to the next house. Even prevents the Muslim's house. At least you don't see. You know, Muslims don't even like shigidi at all. Those guys are closer to heaven than many of us Christians. When you want to sin, let me tell you what you do. You now face the image to pray. Some people have the image of Angel Michael killing serpent in their compound. Be careful. What did I say? See, if you want to put image, see all those ones they put around the Enugu, go and copy one of those ones. Those ones are safer because you can never worship them. You see image of see no evil, do no evil, and talk no evil. You don't even know what it means. Just see three monkeys. Monkey did not die for your sin. You can never look in that direction. Well, you're safer. I'm not saying I'm recommending that. I'm just saying that on the scale of preference, that one is safer. Once you put the statue of Jesus Christ in front of your room, then when you want to pray, you open your window. Children, face this side. You will have demonic problems. I'm not kidding what I'm saying. See, you know, I will tell you when I'm laughing. Let me say it again. If you face any image, any idol, a carved thing, even if it was in the image of Jesus Christ, you have sinned against God. When you want to pray, if you face it, the only thing you're allowed to face, close your eyes. Don't even look up with your eyes open, lest you see a cloud. Close your eyes like this. Stretch your hand or kneel down. Leave images alone. What did I say?
Leave images alone.
Some woman one day is leading everybody in prayer. It's not even a reverend father. He put one large statue of the mother of Jesus beside him and hung one long rope on her neck. I was doing whoo, and people were following him to pray. I said, are you people all right? Can't you see you are playing to pray to an evil spirit? I say he has a prayer ministry. All these demonic prayer ministries we see all over the place these days. Please, if you want to serve Jesus Christ, serve. Stop this rubbish. Some of these people, they are scam artists too. They know you will come. This is a Christian even sell shigidi when they are living. They give you something to hold. That's why the power of God is not fully manifest in our life. We have carried the name of God and placed on a vain thing. I've told you many times, the only thing God ever commands you can place in places is just one thing. What is what? Scripture. You're allowed to do that one. You're allowed to print it. Take a piece of paper and print it there. The Lord is my shepherd. You're allowed to do that. No weapon that is fashioned against me shall prosper. Every mouth that rises against me in judgment, I will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of God. You're allowed to, because when you see it, you're not seeing in him, you're seeing the words of God. It's what he said that is resonating in your ears. How did I get there? Idolatry. The sin of the church. Now, let me summarize this. I'm watching our time. People of God, this is our country. It's time for the church to repent. Now, let me summarize. When you see flooding in Maiduguri, it's time for the church to pray, to seek the face of the Lord. What the country has suffered, I can say this one clearly, I believe it's prophetic. Well, let me not say it's prophetic. It's based on divine understanding. The Holy Spirit opened my eyes to see it. You know the problem with Nigeria is going through? It's called rejection. What do I call it? The country has not been rejected by the Lord, though. You know who has rejected it? The people of God. God gave them a promised land. They saw the giants and turned their hearts against the land. I said this a few years ago. I'll say it again. Thus says the Lord. Please believe me. Thus says the Lord to the church of God in this country. If you want this nation, I will give you. The problem this nation has is rejection. And I see some of my brethren these days, the remnants, getting up to reclaim the land. Sometimes people buy a portion of land, not because they want to have materialistic and they want to build a physical inheritance. They're just saying to God, I want the land. Yeah, I've seen it. They're not trying to build it. No, just like this land, I want it. It's a sign. You know, God did that with Jeremiah. After Jeremiah prophesied, God now told Jeremiah, go and buy a plot of land. Where's the title deed? Take it, roll it, bury it. Now say to them, this place will be occupied again. Houses will be built here. Vineyards will be built. Land will be sold and exchanged. Houses will be built. How will I know? How would they know you are serious? Take your money. Buy land in the place where you are selling, then they will be kicked out of. If you bought land and buried the title deed, God does that. This is what this land is suffering, is rejection. And that's one sin I think I can say by the Spirit of God that the church needs to repent of. The sin of rejecting the earth, the portion of earth that God placed them in. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he placed the man whom he had made. The Lord God carved a nation westward in Africa. And there he took a people he had redeemed. Please don't forget what I said. The Lord God planted, carved a nation westward in Africa. And there he placed a people that he had redeemed. And he said to them, guard it and do what? Keep it. If you think Maiduguri doesn't concern you, wait till you want to buy rice or buy onion. You'll be surprised. If you think the flooding in Katsina is none of your business, because they wait, you go to the market in the next few months and they will tell you, you know, that they refer to the flood. Because it's just a sign for you. It's a sign. Pastor was telling me that there's a man who used to treat him very well, assist him in ministry. The guy was driving through Zamfara. Bandits attacked, shot randomly, hit him in the head and killed him. And left behind 5 children, one that's a year old. You might be hearing of banditry. And he called me and said, I'm heartbroken. Because he's seen many things. Are you drawing any inference? I'm giving you the word of the Spirit. The only thing this nation has suffered or is suffering currently is one thing. What is that? Rejection. Not by God, but by the people that he placed there. I think that's all I'm supposed to say today. Then we will pray. If my people who are called by my name will do what? Humble themselves. And what is humility now? Accept their fault. All you need to do is go online and hear them talk. You see the rejection. Oh, some of them have thieves. They reject the land, but they will not stop milking it. Just ask the university hospital last week. They found how many people? Is it 120, thereabout, who had left and gone to Canada and UK? They were still drawing salary. They reject the country, but they must milk it. Then one of my classmates, who's the chief medical director of his federal university teaching hospital somewhere in the South. He said, just last month, I did an audit. I had to fire 48 of them in one institution. They reject the country. They didn't want to milk it. Pastors reject the country. Some are so silly. The campaign. I told them that your campaign won't go anywhere. The last election. You know I said it. They're looking at me like, why didn't you support us? When all of you are crazy, why would I support you? God is speaking. You turn your deaf ears to what he's saying. I spoke for him. You refuse to listen. And God said, this is not my way. They even made it. You know, Bible says that you made the Nazarite drink wine. Do you know these guys turned prophets on the desired line? There was one prophet in Nigeria who mentioned his name. God used to give that guy clear visions. He prophesied. They threatened him spiritually. Not spiritual attack. They said, when you prophesy, your brethren will say, what are you saying? You say, you're going to revise your prophecy. He revised his prophecy, denied himself. I didn't even hear the original prophecy. I only heard his denial. And I knew what he must have said. So why can't you just follow God? I didn't even tell them both. When I just said, listen, just put your effort where you are supposed to. You are the people of God. I said, claim the seat. It's what they call claiming a seat. You say, this chair, you are the presidency of Nigeria. Let me tell you, whoever will sit here will do the will of my father. And if he will not, I command two legs to break. He shall fall and hit his head. And the legs shall repair and somebody else shall sit. No, that's how you pray such prayers. You collect the seat. Now I'll be looking at everybody sitting down there, say, you, your days are numbered. Better do what the father is saying. After the campaign, it didn't go the way they wanted it. They now rejected the country after. And they are wishing that the country will spoil. Some people talking, they just say they are wishing that things will be bad so that they can say our way is the correct way. One pastor in Abuja said, we still reject Muslim ticket. I said, 2 years after. It's no longer a ticket, don't be stupid. The ticket has expired. I pray Christians will get my point. You live a life of ease. The church is not about politics. It's about the power of God. That a man that hates you will come into power, you'll be looking at him and laughing. Say, you will do the will of God. Can I say this to you? You think, you know, people in power, do you know they see visions? All into this read the Bible. The vision is normal with them. Pharaoh saw visions. Nebuchadnezzar, did he not see? God, I even see the Midianites fighting. God gave them visions. Yes. When Gideon was afraid, what did God tell him? Go to the camp of Midian. And he went there, he heard them narrating, now I dreamed yesterday. What did you dream? I dreamt that one loaf of bread erode and flattened our whole camp. Hey, that one said, that must be Gideon. His friend told him, that must be Gideon. And Gideon heard it. Gideon said, I'm going to flatten this camp. Yes. What am I trying to say? You think the angels of God have stopped walking? They walk into the house of the president and wake him up. My friend, wake up. That law you wrote, God said, change it. He said, But, you know, it's democracy. It's the house of, it's the Senate. Say, don't worry, I've killed the other guys. You will read the news tomorrow. Just because you are the president, I suppose kill you too, but the way you're just that, people just prayed for you. Some people are praying for you. So it's the only condition God has given for your survival. So that law shall hit your table tomorrow. You shall veto it. The guy will wake up tomorrow. He'll just come tomorrow. Where's that paper? I go, your tear up. Vetoed. He said, but sir, the inner caucus. Vetoed. They will say, we are going back to the National Assembly. As they get there, where is the committee chairman of this? They rushed him to hospital last night. He died this morning. Eh? What about the deputy? That one? We heard he was going home at night. He drank. He went on that trailer. Is he alive? How can he be alive? And I'll be telling you like this. There's no problem. There's this other committee. That one. The motor don't catch fire. So what are we going to do? Call the Senate president that they should set up other committees. You know, when the president will come, when he hear the whole news, he will now know that it's just by the grace of God that I'm still here. So next time, before he pass, before he sign on that law, you go call one man of God. Man of God! I'm signing today. Do you want to be present? That one will come. I don't know. Do you want to read it? I don't know. Just in case you are interested. The man of God say, no, no. Go sign. The Lord is with thee. Are you sure? People think those things don't happen. Till now, they happen. I won't mention names because we are streaming. I'll have been given names. There was one prominent traditional ruler in this country. Very, very big. Those powerful, heavy ones. One big man of God whose name you all know went to his palace and said, the Lord said, I should tell you that this persecution of my people must stop. Otherwise, the man didn't hear, didn't believe. He entered the plane. It crashed and he died. Yeah, true story, true story, true story. The man walked up into the man's palace. He said, God said I should tell you, you end this or I will answer. And he died. He was gone according to the word of the Lord that came by the servant of God. That's what I preach to Christians. If you want to run for political office, fine. But hope is not there. The church didn't need somebody who doesn't leave that thing. People reject the nation. They reject. See, once they inaugurate a government, me, I'm IGP. You know what they call IGP? Any government in power. Not, of course, you know me, I don't go to government house to go and beg for things. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I owe you prayer and intercession and the decree of the Almighty that you will do the will of God for my life. We have a governor in Enugu. That's why we pray for him. I told you my wife was praying and praying that they will. Didn't know this man came into power and turned the road just to the next street after my one. I said, oh, see, it's good you pray. That's when we moved to that area, my wife began to pray. Say, but this our road is bad. Be honest with you, when she will be praying, I'll be saying amen. But my faith was not that heavy. Like, maybe would they reach out, Sabi? I'm more interested in peace. But my wife said, no, the road must be good. Then this new governor came and took the road from the major road and planted it, put gutters, turn. That is, you drive smooth until just before you get to my street. So my wife don't look the balance, say, would they come? God will send a man of his purpose if he has to come from a distant country. You want to know the major problem this country has? Is rejection. I will forgive their sin. Right now, the sin the church needs to be forgiven of is what? The sin of rejecting the land that God gave them to hold. Let's bow down our heads and say, Lord, we repent. Of rejection. We repent of this rejection. Lord, we ask you for this nation. Give it to us. We're not even asking for anything specific now. We say, Lord, give us, as a church, give us this land. Give us the souls therein. The primary thing, God wants to win the souls. A lot of people see the people who are coming from Cornwall, north, coming to southeast here. They say they are invading the land. And one man wrote a book, Scattered to be Gathered. That God has driven them down here so they can hear the gospel. How much of it are we preaching to them? People of God, pray. Repent of that sin of rejection. Repent. Say, Lord, we repent of rejection. Rejecting the land that you have given us. It's a good land in which you want to build up the souls of men for eternity. It's a land in which you want to redeem your people. But we rejected it. Say, Lord, no, not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. is a land in which you have sown seeds. You must understand, for any generation to reap the harvest of seeds sown in previous times, they must sow their own seeds today. There's a spiritual connection that must be done. The land in which missionaries came from far and near. The land in which men like Ajay Crowder translated the Bible. What do you say? A man that was taken away as a slave, he became an Anglican bishop and translated the Bible into his native tongue. That's the land we're talking about. A land in which people like Pielton came and lived and died. A land in which people like Mary Slessor came and changed the practices of the people. You hear the Sudan Interior Mission. A land in which people like this have labored. And people want to reject them. Reject it. No, we refuse. We refuse. We will not let... You remember that our new national anthem, which was our old national, they say, that labors of our heroes past. Finish for me. That's the line I want. It shall never be in vain. It's the heroes of the church. I'm not talking about Alvani Koku and the other people, you know, Tafa Balewa and all of those. Baphomet. No. We're talking about the heroes of the faith. The land in which Pielton refused to have many children simply because he said he cannot be distracted with a large family life. The land in which he sowed his, you know, Paul said he was poured out as a drink offering. What's the name of that missionary that was sent to Kogit amongst the Yagba people? He heard the name of the tribe Yagba somewhere, was it America or somewhere in Europe? And he came down, lived there all his days, just like Pielton too. But his own mission was different. So many of us don't know of him as much as we know of Pielton. Those are the heroes that we're talking about. Men who went around preaching the gospel barefoot, who couldn't speak English, but they carried the power of God. The modern day people want to just throw it away. Because you are afraid of this, afraid of that. And as you repent, you have to repent. Repent of rejection. And say, Lord, let's read this portion. I remember, I said we should read it, right? No, we read it earlier. We read it so many. You know, when he said, I saw the Lord preparing that swarm of locusts. And what did he say? He said, Lord, please stop. How will Jacob survive? For he is so small. And then what did God say? This will not be. So the Lord relented. So let's ask God. Lord, stop. Let the flooding stop. Say, Lord, the nation has suffered so much. The herdsmen and the banditry should have driven farmers out of the farm. Now the flood is washing away the grain that they planted. Lord, have mercy. The other day, a busload of students, one or two busloads of students going from the medical students coming to Enugu, were kidnapped. And I like the way we asked God, remember, we prayed. And the following week, every single one of them was released unscratched. The head of the gang was killed. And two members of the gang that kidnapped them were incarcerated. I said, Lord, thank you for that deliverance. Let's pray that God let our young people, even the old, that travel up and down in the north, in the south, in the east, in the west, Lord, grant safety. Lord, let your hand of judgment be withdrawn. Lord, give us abundance of food in the land. Lord, away with rejection. We're not rejecting this land again. We want the land. He said, entreat the Lord for that land that have kept you in as exiles. He said, Lord, give this land prosperity. For the advancement of the kingdom, so that your children will have peace. Oh, I pray to God for peace all the time. Lord, give me peace of mind. He said, Lord, grant us peace. Peace of mind. He said, so we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness before God who wants all men to be saved. He said, Lord, you give us peace, all men will be saved. You allow us to travel up and down, we will carry the gospel. You give us prosperity, we will use it to advance your work. We know your primary concern is the salvation, because this world will pass away. This earth will pass away. Only those that have that resurrection power working in them will go into the kingdom of God. And God is preparing the people for the kingdom of God. Say, Lord, we ask of you. He's preparing his people for his kingdom. Give us peace so we can advance and reap the harvest. For the harvest indeed is plentiful. Once I was in Maiduguri and it was a Friday. That was last year. And the mosque closed. I saw a sea of young men. And I said, what is happening? They say mosque closed. I said, this number of people from one mosque. They said, it's not even the central mosque. I said, what? And it didn't include women. I said, indeed, the harvest is plentiful. I said, Lord, give us peace. And give us laborers. So we can harvest for you. Let's give it all thanks. Let's say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. Listen, no evil will befall you. And no plague will come near your dwelling. God will deliver you from all troubles. From six troubles, he will deliver you. From seven, evil will not touch you. It will be well with you when you go out. It will be well with you at home. Safety is your portion. God will give you all the fuel you need. Your grain will be sure. Your water will be given to you. Your bread will come in abundance. Listen, your bread will come in abundance. How shall these things be? The Spirit of God will overshadow the supplies. That's all. God actually works in wondrous ways. Yes. You see, it's when it has happened, I'll start explaining. I'm so happy God has helped me see that all my own calculations, humanly speaking, they have failed. And I'm very happy. You know, I knew the theory. You know, my pastor used to those days, that a soul cannot imbibe truth in a living form until it requires it. Powerful revelation. That the soul cannot imbibe truth in the living form until it requires it. Before that time, it's head knowledge. It's stored there. Then one day, do you get my point? Circumstances will come up. And only the truth you have stored will answer it. That's when it becomes alive. For me, it has happened over the last few months and years. Things I thought I knew, which I preached. But I'll still be joining people to do calculation. Because they don't worry. I will fail. So the calculations failed. And I realize that he said all flesh is grass. Yeah. That's good. Keep reading the scriptures. It will wake up to you one day. It will answer questions for you. It's well with you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we have passed out of death. And we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Blessed to people beside you. Say, this is your season. Season of the demonstration of the Spirit. Now go back to those two people and tell them that God will work a special miracle in your life. Turn to that person, say it. Now one for yourself. God will work a special miracle in my life. Amen. God bless you. Cheer up, brethren.